Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
No matter what's going on in the world, no matter how much change is taking place in our lives, he's still the same. He's not on an emotional roller coaster. God is not up and down. He's not up one moment, down the next. I wonder how God's feeling this morning. I sure hope he's in a good mood. That'd be pretty scary, wouldn't it? To have an emotional, like, you know, God like that. I mean, he has emotions, but he's not controlled by his emotions. You know, he's not controlled by his feelings. That'd be pretty scary. You just never know how he woke up this morning. Thank God he never went to sleep. I wouldn't want to go to sleep if God was sleeping. Somebody's got to stay awake and watch the house. Thank God he's awake. And he's watching out for things even while we're sleeping. And then when we wake up, he never went to sleep. So, you know, he's not trying to wake up. He's still just as alert as he was. I said he's still as alert as he always was. He's alert. He's attentive. He's a consuming fire. I got news for you. God's on fire today. He's fired up. He still has fire in his eyes. And that's his burning hot love for you. And it's eyes of fire and vengeance towards our enemies. God gets red hot against the devil. That doesn't change. He's mad at the devil and he's happy. He's happy about those who are happy about him. I said he's happy about those who are happy about him. I'm happy about God. I'm happy about God. Praise God. He is our happiness. He's to be our happiness. And then you'd be happy all the time. If he's your happiness, you'd be happy all the time. Why? Because he's happy all the time. So if he is your happiness and he's happy all the time, then you are happy all the time. Amen. You just got to remind yourself that sometimes. You got to remind yourself that sometimes. You know, when your flesh is not feeling, you're not feeling very happy. And then you can just rise up beyond your feelings and begin to operate by faith in the truth about him. I believe God. I believe God's happy all the time towards me. He's happy about me all the time because his love for me never changes at any time. He's for me. He's not against me. The love that he displayed on the cross 2,000 years ago has not dwindled. It has not dwindled at all. God's love that he demonstrated on the cross for me, for you, is still very much intact, still very much real, still very much in existence today. The love of God has not changed. The love of God did not go out with the last apostle. And therefore we know healing didn't go out with the last apostle. We know blessings didn't go out with the last apostles. We know God's goodness didn't go out with the last apostles because God's love didn't go out with the last apostle. In fact, there is no last apostle. There's still apostles today. And God's still here today. And he's still doing what we see how he had done in the Word of God. What we see recorded in the Word, he's still doing. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's got a good life for you and I said, he's got a good life for you and I. How many want to live long and strong upon the earth? Yes, that is God's will for you and I. And that's what we've been looking at. We've been doing a series on living a long life, a long, healthy, strong, and satisfying life. And I want to get into living a satisfied life today. I want to really look at living a satisfied life. Are you ready? So let's go to Psalm 91. Because we don't want to just live long. We want to live a satisfied long life. Psalm 91. Now, of course, it takes faith to walk in the promises of God. If it didn't take faith and God's will was just done regardless of what we believed, then everybody would be healthy. Everybody would be blessed. Everybody would be strong. Everybody would be holy. Everybody would be happy. Everybody would be living a very satisfied life if it was all up to God. But it's not. It's not. And that's why the world's in a big mess. That's why so many lives are so messed up, because it's not all up to God. Well, whatever he wants. Well, it's not just whatever he wants. It's whatever you can believe. See, that's what Jesus said to the people of his day when he walked on the earth. People would come to him and say, heal me. He'd say, well, can you believe that? According to your faith, let it be done unto you. One man came up to him and said, Lord, if you can do anything, help us. And the Lord looked at him and said, it's not a question of what I can do, but what you can believe. All things are possible to him that believes. So you see, our believing is extremely important. And so how can we believe God? How can we trust God for a long and satisfying life? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's as we hear and hear the word of God on the subject of living a long and satisfied life that we'll be able to believe God to grant us exactly what he promised us, a long, satisfying life. But if we turn a deaf ear to these things, if we don't hear these things, and all we're hearing is the opposite of these things, then it's going to be hard for us to be able to believe these things that God has promised us. And thus, more than likely, we're not going to see these things manifested in our life. We're not going to see these things come to pass in our life, even though it's God's will. Even though it's God's will for his goodness to come to pass in our life, for his promises to come to pass in our life, we have to believe it. And we can't just live off of yesterday's believing. Our believing needs to be fresh. It needs to be alive today. The word of God is living and powerful. It needs to be living in our life. It can't be just something that we're having had believed. You know, the word is something we did believe. I did believe that. And now we just mentally assent to the truths of God's word. No, they've got to be real to our heart. So it's important to hear these things, take hold of these things, and then begin to declare these things for ourselves. Share these things with yourself constantly. Talk to yourself. Encourage yourself in these things all the time. All the time. Encourage yourself. Man, I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his life. Power of his might. I'm going to live long and strong on the earth. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. You healed me. Your glory is my rear guard. I thank you that your power is flowing through every cell of my body. Every cell of my body celebrates life, not death. Death has no authority over me. The devil is under my feet. Now, you share that with people, and then what happens many times, they get over into this legalistic thing. And they write down their confessions, and they just walk around like a bunch of parrots or robots. No weapon formed against me will prosper. In the name of Jesus, Father God, thank you that I'm healed, I'm blessed, I'm not cursed. And it's just like they're just mentally assenting to the truths of God's word. They're just speaking them out, thinking that their confession is going to make it all happen, rather than just walking in the reality of it and enjoying that reality. I just talk about it because I love it. That's why I talk about it. I love it. I'm excited about it. I believe it. And the more I talk about what I really believe, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the more I talk about it. And the more I talk about it, the more excited I get about it. And the more excited I get about it, the more I want to talk about it. And the more I talk about it, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the more excited I get about it. You see, that's how it goes. It's not this dead letter thing. We're just quoting a bunch of scriptures, reading. You know, I love these people. I got my prayer requests all written down. They go through their prayer requests. Father, thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the thing. Thank you, Jesus. They get done with their prayer list. Okay, well, I don't know how high that prayer went. If it didn't come from the heart, if it's just something we're doing from our head. This life has to flow from a heart of faith. Amen, and faith works by love. So man, this is a love thing. We love God. We realize God loves us. God's excited about us. That makes me excited about me and excited about him. I'm excited about it. I find myself. And that's what we talk. And praise comes naturally from that place. But I find myself, I don't plan on doing it. I just get up in the morning. I just begin to thank him. I begin to thank him for my body being healed. I thank him for being saved. Just thank him for, all the things that I know he's promised me. A lot of these things that I'm preaching. Just wake up thanking him. Thanking him, thanking him, thanking him, thanking him, thanking him. Go to bed thanking him. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Your angels are all around me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Praise God. Thank you. I live long on the earth, a long, satisfying life. Lord, I thank you. I'm walking the perfect will, your perfect will for my life constantly, all the time, every day. Thank you. You keep me right on track, Lord. You order my steps. That's how we maintain this life of faith so that God can bring these things to pass in our life. But if we stop doing that, it's very easy to just be listening to other things that are contrary to the Word of God. Listening to all kinds of things that produce doubt and unbelief about living long and healthy and strong and prospering and on and on and on. You know, you listen to this world, you just listen to the news media, and you just listen to and just go watch your movies and everything else. Man, you're going to have so much faith to be in fear and worry about things. And then people go to praying out of fear and worry. And what does that sound like? God, I just thank you in the name of Jesus. And then they pray for something and they keep praying for it and they keep praying for it and they keep praying for it and they keep praying and they never receive it. They never get in faith about it. They just keep in fear crying out to God about the same thing. But faith is able to rise up, pray, believe it, receives, and be done with it. I got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I prayed about it. And I just thank him for it. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have begun. I know you're on the job. I know you're taking care of these things. I know you're watching over my words to perform them. I have what I say. Glory be to God. And I say all kinds of things. What are you saying? What are you saying? Make sure what you're saying is in line with what God's saying. And be saying it all the time. Not like robots, but out of a heart of faith. So stir yourself up. Say, well, I don't feel like I have much faith. Well, ask God for it. Say, Father, help me with faith. Help me to be in faith about the things I'm hearing today. Lord, now you help me to get in faith about this and stay in faith. Help me to believe and receive and continue in the truth of your word. Help me, Father. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And he'll do exactly what you ask him. Isn't that amazing? He'll do exactly what you ask him. You'll have exactly what you say. Because that's exactly what he said. Psalm 91. This is for those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you under his shadow? Have you set your love on him? Well, because, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Guarantee. These are all guarantees. You understand that. You know, God don't just say stuff. He actually means what he says. And this is a written contract. So he didn't just say it, but he put it in writing for everybody to be a witness of. This is what he has said to me. This is what he has said to you. Take it to heart. Take it personally. This is the Lord talking to you. If you've set your love upon him, he says you'll call on him and he'll answer you. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. He didn't say, I'll keep him from going through trials and tests. But he said, I'll deliver him. In every trial, every test you might face in life, I will deliver you. That's good news. So we don't have to be afraid of the trials and tests. Instead, they go, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Because in the world you'll have tribulation. He told you that 2,000 years ago. Why are you asking him, why is this happening? In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because he will deliver you. He will deliver you out of all trouble. He'll be with you in trouble and deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God here tells us he wants those that love him to live a long and satisfying life. A long, satisfying life. What does it mean to be satisfied? When you look up the word satisfied, it means to be pleased, made happy, Made happy by meeting expectations or fulfilling goals. You're gratified. You're satisfied in your life and what's going on in your life. Do you have any expectations? Do you have any goals in life? God wants to meet your needs. He wants you to reach your goals. He wants you to be fully pleased and gratified that you've gotten exactly what you were pursuing, that you got exactly what you were going after. A long, satisfied life, not a long, empty, hollow, miserable life, but a satisfied life. A satisfied life, pleased. You're pleased with the results. You're pleased with what's happening. You're pleased with what's going on. You're happy. Your expectations have been met. Your goals have been fulfilled. Don't this sound good? So what expectations or goals do you have? Some people, you know, you hear their goals at the start of the new year. Now they're going to lose weight. They're going to get in shape. Some folks are just looking to be healthy, to be physically fit. That's a goal they have. Some have the goal of having a lot of money. Have a lot of money to be financially well off, to be rich. Some want recognition. They want to be liked by others. Famous. Oh yeah. There's a lot of folks that want to be famous. Poor folks. That's how I feel about it. But they want to be famous, you know. They want to get on some of these shows on television. What's that one called? I see a big V. Every time I see a football game, it comes on the commercial, the Voice. The Voice. Everybody's got it. They want The Voice. And they want everybody to know they got the voice. You know, they want to be famous. They want recognition. Some folks just say, no, I don't want fame. I just want a family. I just want to have children. Just have a really nice family. Some folks have a family. They like to have a nicer family. That's their goal. They would like to see a much nicer family than the family that they're contending with at the time. Some folks want to have a car. They want to have a certain car. That's a goal, an expectation. They want to have the house. They want to have maybe a certain position at work or in their career. Other folks, they have maybe more noble desires and goals. They want to help people. They want to be used by God. They want to have a big ministry. They want to do a lot of things for God. So my question is, with these goals that I've just laid out there, they're very, very common, very common. But can a person be truly satisfied with these things? Can a person be satisfied, by reaching these expectations, by fulfilling these goals? Well, let's take a look at Psalm 17 before anybody answers too quickly. Psalm 17. And in verse, people have learned around here not to answer too quickly. Sometimes that works out well, sometimes it don't. Psalm 17, verse 14, it says, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their substance for their babes. Notice that. It says they are what? Huh? Satisfied. Satisfied with what? Children. That was one of the things we were just talking about, having a family. If they could just have a family, have some children, they could just pour into their kids. Just pour into their kids and then watch their kids grow up and be successful. That would be very fulfilling. That would be a goal reach. And thus, that would bring satisfaction to their lives. And that's what he says here. They are satisfied. They are satisfied with children. So there is a satisfaction that comes from reaching these goals that many people have. There is a satisfaction in those things. So we don't want to just say, no, you don't, you're not going to be satisfied, because the Bible says they're satisfied. They're satisfied. But then I like the next verse, verse 15. It says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. In other words, I will see your glory. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. When I am thinking, believing, living, talking, acting like you. That's when I'll be satisfied. Is it possible to awake in his likeness while in this life? How can we awake in his likeness if we don't know what he's like? You can't awake in his likeness if you don't know what he's like. But thank God we can know what he's like. How can we know what he's like? The Word. The Word of God. So we can say it this way. I'll be satisfied when I awake in the likeness of your Word. When my life looks like your Word. When I look like what this Bible tells me you're like. When I wake up, yielded to you, and you're living your life through me. Oh yeah, that's when I will be satisfied. But that's the psalmist. He says, that's when I'll be satisfied. Now they're satisfied, and they are satisfied. And you can be satisfied. Many are satisfied. I mean, they're sweetly satisfied. There's folks, they got money, they got fame, they got luxury, they got peace all around them. There's no real persecution. There's no real pressure. They're doing great in this world. They're doing good. And they are happy. They are happy with the results. They have made it big. They are a success. And again, that varies for everybody, what success looks like. For some people, it's their family. I got my family. I got my kids. I've always wanted them, and I got them. You know, look at my kids. They went off to college. They're doing wonderful. And they're satisfied. They're happy. And then there's this other satisfaction that the psalmist talks about, the satisfaction of God in his life. So there are two different kinds of satisfaction. There is a superficial, earthly, worldly, fleshly, natural satisfaction. And then there's an inner, deeper satisfaction. A satisfaction that's more of the heart. It's more of a person's spirit and their soul. We are spirit beings. We have a soul, and we live in a body in this world. That's who we are. That's who everybody is. And so there are those that they are satisfied when everything outwardly is falling in place. When things are looking good in the outward. They're excited. They're happy. They're fulfilled. They're satisfied. And then there's those that recognize there's another part of me. There's a deeper part of me that needs to be satisfied. And folks that are aware of this deeper inner desire to be satisfied, they will not be fulfilled and fully satisfied just because they're experiencing prosperity, health, and good things in this world. there's something else that has to be satisfied. There's something deeper on the inside of them that has to be satisfied. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, it says in verse 3, if a man begets 100 children, now we just talked about over there in Psalm 17 where there are folks that are satisfied with children. He says, if a man begets 100 children and lives many years, that's long life. So that's satisfaction, that's long life. So that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child or a child that dies at birth is better than he. Notice that. Here this guy, he's got 100 kids. He's got everything going for him, in other words, in the natural. He's lived a very, very long life, a very long and prosperous life. And yet, here the Word of God says that a child that dies at birth is better than that guy if that guy has no satisfaction in his soul. Oh, he might be satisfied outwardly, but if his soul isn't satisfied with goodness, he's a wretched, miserable person. He's miserable at heart, even though outwardly he seems happy. See, there's an outward happiness, and then there's a happiness that comes from the inside. There's a deeper happiness that's on the inside of all of us. Here, that word goodness, where it says, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness. That word goodness means happiness, gladness, prosperity, wealth. God wants you to have a wealthy, prosperous soul. He wants your soul flourishing and thriving. Does God care about your life materially? A lot of religious people would say he doesn't care, but that contradicts the Bible big time. Because God does care about all your natural needs. God cares about your material needs. God cares about your finances. He wants you to make a profit in life. He wants to increase you in these areas. It's very clear through the scriptures. But more than that, God cares about your soul. He cares about the condition of your soul, and you can have not just a prospering outer life, but you can have a soul that is prospering also. And that is our, or needs to be, our primary objective, to have a prosperous soul. In 3 John chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 2, he says, beloved, now this is the heart of God, because this is God's word. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now he's talking about things, and he's talking about your health. So he's talking about the condition of your physical body. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things, the things of this world. I want you to prosper in all the good things of this world that, by the way, God created. And be in health. I want you to have a healthy, strong body. I don't want your body causing you problems. It's hard to enjoy the things of the world when your body's hurting. So God wants to take care of the whole package. But he doesn't stop there. He says it's to be just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. So here, he's talking about being satisfied in your soul. Satisfied with goodness. The word goodness there means happiness, gladness, prosperity. Wealth. God wants you to have a prosperous, wealthy soul, a soul that is flourishing, a soul that is thriving, a soul that is happy, a soul that is fulfilled, a soul that is satisfied. That's God's desire for your life. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Think about that. Now notice, we have hope in this life. In fact, this is being written to the church at Corinth. And man, they were all fired up about the promises of God and the hope that Christ gave them for this life. But they got so focused on this life that they lost sight of the greater picture. They lost sight of the greater insight into the spirit, into the soul. And so the apostle had to come back by the Spirit of God, and he said, if in this life only we have hope. We do have hope in this life. And I got to always reiterate that, because there's so much religious thinking out there that tries to deny us of that truth. That there's hope in this life. God's promises are not just all limited to the spirit and the soul. God cares about your body. God cares about you materially and all these things we've been talking about. He cares about you. He cares about your physical condition. He cares about all these things. So we have hope in this life, but if only we have hope in this life, then we are pathetic. We are pitiable. Let me read it from another translation. This is the Amplified Classic. There's the Amplified, then there's the Amplified Classic. 1 Corinthians 15, 19, it says, if we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and to be pitied. So in other words, if you're prospering and you're experiencing all this great success, and oh, thank God, it's because of the blessing of God, it's because of my faith in Christ, my hope in Jesus Christ, that my life is thriving and flourishing, my goals are being fulfilled, my expectations are being met. Thank you, Jesus, you're so good to me. If that's all you have, you are most miserable and you are to be pitied. Because if your soul is not satisfied with goodness, a child, a baby that died at birth is better than you. The BRG translation. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. Now that's interesting. You're actually miserable if all you're doing is living for outward things and having success at it. Things are going well for you according to the outward, according to the flesh. Thank you, Jesus. And so there's an outward satisfaction that's taken place, and yet while outwardly satisfied, people are inwardly miserable. Is that possible? It is. There's people, they're so happy. They're so thankful. They're so excited. Life is so good. And yet, something down deep on the inside of them is miserable. While they're excited and celebrating outwardly. Proverbs 14 really brings this out. Proverbs 14, verse 13. It says, even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. And the end of mirth, entertainment, amusement, may be grief. Notice that. Even in laughter, the heart makes sorrow. So a person outwardly is laughing. They're at the party. They are the life of the party. They are humorous. They are entertaining. They're having the time of their life. Give me another drink. Just having a great time. And yet, even in all this display of laughter and happiness and excitement, the heart still might be broken and sorrowful and grieving. And many people in this life live grieved on the inside while amusing themselves on the outside. They're enjoying all these outward things, and they walk away from it saying, "That was great." And inwardly, they're grieved. Inwardly, they're depressed. But yet, for most people in this world, they're unaware of it. They're unaware of their inward grief and sorrow because they've built all their dreams and they've built all their desires on outward things. And they're so into the outward that they're completely distracted from their own heart. They're distracted from their own true spiritual condition. They're distracted from it. They're not even aware of their problem. I mean, it's right there. It's them. It's who they are. They're unaware of it because they're so caught up in judging themselves, judging their life, and judging others according to the flesh, according to external circumstances. That's why he says over in James chapter 4, and in verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners." Now, this is written to the church. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." I want you to know God don't want you living a gloomy life. God don't want you walking around gloomy and depressed. The Bible says he who sits in the heavens laughs. God's a God of fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Not depression forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. God wants us to live a very happy life. Yet here he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Notice your joy. This is not the joy of the Lord. This is the joy of a good job. Your joy. This is the joy of family, or the joys of marriage, or the joy of whatever it might be. The joy of outward success. Your joy. Not that deeper joy that comes from Jesus, from knowing and walking with him. No. This is an outward joy. He says, now, here you are, living contrary to the word, living contrary to the likeness of God, and you're laughing, and you're happy, and you're having a good time. You're not walking in reality. That is not reality. If you're a sinner, if you're living in sin, then your heart is broken and beat up and enslaved to the devil. You are most miserable. Your heart is grieving. Your heart is hurting. So stop putting on airs. Stop believing lies and judging yourself according to the flesh. And he says, why don't you go ahead and yield to the real you?
Yield to the real you who is mourning, who is grieving, who is sorrowing. Why don't you go ahead and express what's really going on in your heart and stop all this superficial laughing, celebrating, and having a good time? Because if you can get down to the real you, if you can connect with yourself, if you can get in touch with your heart and begin to yield and express that, then we can get some things turned around in your life. But as long as you're over here in superficial land and you're living out here according to the flesh, life is so good to me, I'm just having a great time. Meanwhile, your heart is grieving, your heart is sorrowing. If you can get in touch with that, then now God can bring a transformation in your life. Are you with me? He can bring a transformation in your life. That's why he says in the next verse, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. If you lament and you mourn and you cry because that's what's really going on in you, and you say, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, oh God, my heart's not right with you, God, I'm miserable, Lord, I'm not living the kind of life I've been created to live, oh God, forgive me, Lord, I've judged myself according to the flesh, and I repent of that, Lord, without you, I'm miserable, apart from your will, I'm miserable, God, forgive me and heal me and deliver me. What's going to happen is God's going to forgive you. He's going to cleanse you, and he's going to lift you up. He's going to lift you up in life. And now you're being lifted up by him. And now this joy that you have, the world didn't give it to you. And because the world didn't give it to you, it's not fake. It's real. I mean, this is the real deal. And now you have real fulfillment and satisfaction on the inside of you, springing up and flowing out of your life. Now your joy is legitimate because it's his joy. Because it's the joy of the Lord, because it's coming out of your heart. It's a legitimate joy. It's not this fake joy. I don't want to live a fake life, do you? We live in a fake world, friend. We live in the world of make-believe. We love fiction. We love storytelling. And now today, in our day, we actually judge things. We judge people's lives based on how convincing they are. In other words, how well they can tell a story. They were so compelling. You had to believe them. Anybody hear that lately? They were so compelling. Compelling. You just had to. Friend, Steven Spielberg is compelling. That's a movie producer. Movie producers, storytellers, they're compelling. Actors and actresses get awards for being compelling. That don't make them honest. That don't make them legitimate. That don't make them real unless you're living in this fake world where it's all about acting. It's all about performance. This one was more convincing than that. Where's the evidence? Where's the reality? This one was this, and this one was this. This is the world we live in now. Everybody judges according to the flesh. They laughed. They cried. It seemed so legitimate. It seemed so real. We are not to judge according to the flesh. We're to be spiritual. We're to be discerning. We're to be live life out of our spirit. And the more in touch you are with your own spirit, the more in touch you are with God, the more in touch you are with the spirits of other men. And you just start knowing. You get around people and you can touch them with your spirit. Spirit to spirit. And you can touch them and say, things are not right here. They look like everything's right. They're testifying and it all sounds so good. Something's not right here. Things are not right in their life. There's something condemning them. There's something troubling them. There's something they're going through.
See, we no longer judge people according to externals. We're not convinced by their display of joy or sorrow. We are touched by the spirit of people because we live our life out of our spirit. We've got our spiritual antennas up. And that's how we judge our life, and that's how we go through this life, is with our spiritual antennas up. We're not living out here external, not even knowing who we are. I mean, think about it. And we got folks in this world, they don't even know who they are. You think they're going to be able to judge what other people are doing? They're going to get things right? It's only by the grace of God that folks do stumble across things, get it right. But we shouldn't just be stumbling in the grace of God. We should be abiding in the grace of God, living our lives out of our spirit, touching the spirits of others. We are to be a spiritual people. That's what the church of Jesus Christ is to be. We are to be spiritual, be mature spiritually. And so there's been times where outwardly everything seems great, feels great in my life. I know you all relate to it. And yet on the inside, something's not right. What is wrong? Something is, I'm not making a connection here with God. Something's off. And so we don't just settle for the superficial. Well, everything's great on the outside and I'm just fine. Thank you very much. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We find out what the problem is. And we go, oh, I've been neglecting my spirit. I've got out ahead of my spirit here. I'm running out ahead of God. I'm yielding to pride. I'm over here in the flesh with this. This is an opinion. This is not the presence. This is not his leading. This is wrong. My heart's not right here. Father, I repent of not getting. See, and we deal with it. We get it right with God. And then what does he do when we humble ourselves and get it right with him? Now all of a sudden there's a cleansing. There's a refreshing. Things feel better. Things are good. Yeah. Amen? And now, just about time you get everything good on the inside, it falls apart on the outside. Yeah. Yeah? But that's okay. Because as long as we got it good on the inside, we'll get through this. I said, we'll get through this. If I got the joy of the Lord on the inside, working its way on the outside, that joy is the strength of God, and it's going to transform my situation. I'm going to go right on through this trial, right on through this test. But folks think their life is falling apart because things around them are falling apart. Or they think their life is great because things around them are great. And neither may be true. What's going on inside you? That's how you know the truth about you and your life and what's going on in your life. And God wants you to live a life where your inner life is satisfied. You're not just, oh, I got the job. Oh, I got this. Oh, I'm satisfied. Thank God for good things. But we don't stop there. Our satisfaction has to be deeper than that. Jesus said in Matthew 16, in verse 26, he said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man do? What will a man give to get his soul back? And listen, this doesn't have to just be when we get over into eternity. This doesn't just have to be, this scripture here, doesn't just be talking about, oh, you die and you go to hell. You've lost your soul in hell. People don't have their soul now. They've lost their soul already. They've lost sight of their soul. They're out of touch with their soul. They're not connected to their soul. Their soul is lost. It's not on their radar. They don't think about their soul life. They just think about their life in this world. So their soul is lost. He says, so you've gained the whole world, but your soul is lost. Your soul is wandering. Your soul is in confusion. Your soul that's inside you in this world is in darkness. It's miserable. What profit is it to you when your joy is just a superficial outward joy? Amen. Folks can be outwardly thrilled while living inwardly unfulfilled. That is not how you and I are to be living. Jesus, remember, he came for the brokenhearted. For the brokenhearted. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite, humble spirit. See, when you get in touch with your spirit, see, that the Lord will come running right in, he'll fix things. Oh, Lord. Whoo, you cry out to him because you recognize things aren't where they're supposed to be. And he's right there. He'll fix that so fast. He'll lift you up on the inside. He'll lift your spirit up. Well, if your spirit gets lifted up, guess what? Then you're going to walk above every demonic spirit. Every demonic spirit attack. Every demonically inspired spiritual attack. You're going to walk above it. Because you've been lifted up in your spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord, for lifting us up. Amen. Praise God. How does that happen? Bring your heart to him. Don't just bring your flesh to him. Don't just show up with your flesh. Show up with your heart. Give him your life. Present that to him. Present the real you to him. Amen. Help me, Lord, to be in touch with myself. You know, when I was newly saved and just getting started in the ministry, I was at that place. I could tell. I mean, it was, and it really troubled me because I didn't want to minister out of me. I didn't want to minister out of that superficial place. I wanted to come in God. I wanted everything to come forth from him, from my heart. And so, but there was so much of me still there. There was so much of me that was not subdued, and there was so much of a struggle going on. I mean, I spent a lot of time, you know, just going to God, turning to him, asking him to help me. Help me to be real. I want to be real. I want to be the real deal. I want to be yielded to you. I don't want to be in the flesh. I don't want to be superficial. There were services that, you know, I'd minister and people would come and say, man, it was a great message. And on the inside, I'm like, eh. It was superficial. I was. The message is always good because it's the word of God. But I was superficial. I didn't minister from the right place. See? Recognize that. Oh, I'd repent. Run back to him, you know? I wouldn't just settle for it. People were happy. It looked good. How did I do? Well, ask God. How am I doing? Don't ask people. Ask God. Unless they're spiritual people that have discernment. Ask God. God, how am I doing? How am I doing? Where am I at? And let him help you. Let him help you. Praise God so you can overflow out of your heart. It's the heart that God takes care of. Those who are out of touch with their heart won't see their need for him. They won't see their need for him because everything's great. Everything's good in the world. As long as everything's good in the world, I don't need God. Then there's people, things go wrong in the world, they run to God. Things get fixed in the world and they run away from God. It's really a sad thing, but I've watched it over the years. You know, you got folks, you know, they get turned on to God. They're coming out of a miserable situation. I mean a miserable situation. The finances aren't there. They never have been able to hold a job. Nobody's been for hiring them. They just, whatever it might be. Big stories, you know, terrible, terrible stories. And then God, man, starts cleaning things up for him. He starts making things easy for him. He starts wiping the table and starts washing things up outwardly. And next thing, I got a job. Good. Yes, I got a job. Thank you, Jesus. It all started when I started coming to this church, Pastor. I'm so thankful. But, Pastor, I have to work on Sundays. Okay. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go work on Sundays. Okay. And eventually, they lose their walk with God. Their soul falls apart. But they got money now. Sometimes that lasts. And sometimes even that falls apart too. It's so sad. But you see, I got a job now. I can't come to church. Oh, so God gave you a job so you wouldn't come to church. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you need to speak up. Tell your boss, I got commitment to God. And I commit to God, make me good employee. See? Right? But if you make me not committed to God, I become bad employee. I become like all your other employees that are ripping you off and slandering you and talking behind your back. But if you'll let me serve God, I'll be a good employee. It's a good thing to say to your boss. I did that when I was out in Oklahoma. It's exactly what I did. And he called me in his office. He says, you're going to have to work on Sundays. Steak and Ale restaurant out there in Oklahoma. I said, well, I can't do it. I said, you know, I took this job. I had told him when I took the job, this is a new manager. I said, when I took this job, you know, I told him I've got a commitment to God on Sunday, you know. He said, well, you're going to have to start working on at least one Sunday a month. I said, I can't do it. I said, now you understand. I said, you know, you'd want me to be committed to you. So, you know, here I've got a commitment to God. I can't break that commitment to God. And I began to talk to him, you know, about these things. And then he just said, get out of here. Kicked me out of his office and never fired me. Some folks just need to speak up. But many times they're so fast. Yes, sir. Yes, I don't want to lose the money. Okay. It's God who gave you the job, right? Stay with God. Keep him number one. Keep lifting him up. Hallelujah. Over in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 16. It says, so then because, this is Jesus talking to the church, one of the churches there, Church of Laodicea, he says, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say I'm rich, become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Notice that I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. That's why I'm lukewarmy spiritually. I got no fire in me. I got no passion coming up out of me because I'm outwardly satisfied. And that's good enough for me. Things are good. Jesus is good to me. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you do not know that you're wretched, miserable. Now, some people say, I know I'm wretched. I know I'm miserable. I lost my job. And I don't have any money to pay my bills. So there's a lot of folks that admit, yes, I'm miserable. I can relate to that, Pastor. I totally get that. But they're basing their misery on outward things. They're still not judging themselves according to the Spirit. Just thought I'd catch somebody there. He says, you do not know that you're wretched, miserable. He's talking about inside, on the inside. On the outside, you're happy and you're satisfied. But inwardly, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold. Now, let's just reverse that around. There's a lot of folks, they would say I'm miserable. My life's miserable. The way people treat me. The way things have been going. Miserable. Nobody likes me. I'm wretched. I'm poor. I got no money. I'm in debt. That's where I'm at, Pastor. And I spend a little time when I talk to him. I say, you saved?
Yes.
Jesus lives on the inside of you? Yes. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. God's in you? Yes. You talk to him for a while, you start realizing, your spirit's in pretty good condition. You got a lot going for you. Have you repented of your sins? Yes. Is God good to you? Yes. Also, we start getting in touch with their spirit, and they're not so poor, miserable after all. They're actually pretty blessed. They actually got a lot going for them. But they're not seeing that. They're just judging things according to the outward. If it gets any quiet, we're going to drop the pen. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Notice, he's telling them, come and get this outward, get the eyes of your heart opened up to see your true condition, to see where you're really at. So important to know who we really are. Can you say amen? We need to know who we really are. And if things aren't right between you and God, there's no sense in covering it up with outward things. We just need to get down, get real, humble ourselves before him and repent. And he will lift us up. And we don't need to get all down and miserable about things that are going on around us when we know the Lord is on our side and he's with us. He's in us. Amen. And he said himself, he'll never leave you or forsake you, but he's with you always, even until the end of the world. Right? Hallelujah. So a satisfied, a real satisfied life is a life that is a life that is satisfied inwardly in our soul. Our souls are thriving. That's what we're looking for. When he's talking about buying gold and things, he's talking about laying hold of precious spiritual things. Invest in your spirit. Invest in your soul. Don't neglect your soul for outward things. Invest in your soul. Invest in your inner person. Because that's the most important part of your life. And that's where true joy and satisfaction is going to come from. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's thank the Lord. Glory be to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.